Well, good morning. My name is Andrew Wormel-Scrishan. I go by Worm. I'm on the youth staff here. I'm one of our middle school pastors, and I want to welcome you. If you've been with us at HPMC, I want to welcome you back. And if this is your first time here, please do not be alarmed. They do not let skinny jean millennials run this place. if we did, we'd make you tithe in Bitcoin. So don't be alarmed today. Because I'm on the middle school staff, I want to talk about the middle school program just for a little bit. A few months ago, we had a huge event called Middle School Lock-In. Have you ever done your job at 3 a.m.? Because I do not recommend it. It's like one of those moments where a lock-in for me at 3 a.m. is like, why am I doing what I'm doing, God? Like, why screaming middle schoolers at me? Why? I just want to sleep. But we were in this room about 1 o'clock, 12:30, 1 o'clock, and we had an enormous dance party, and we had 500 rolls of toilet paper. You guys want to see this? Look at this. This is what it looked like in here. It was amazing. And I was actually standing right here at this point right here, and I was standing, and I was thinking to myself, it was just a sweet moment where all these kids are just throwing paper and toilet paper in the air, and music's going, lights are going, and kids are wrapping each other like mummies. I mean, it's just this sweet moment. I was just thinking, whenever these kids come back someday, when they grow up and they come and worship here, they're gonna think, man, I threw 500 rolls of toilet paper in this room. It's amazing. But then, as soon as I thought that, a roll of toilet paper hit me in the side of a face. And I thought, okay, whoever that was is going to think I hit my youth pastor in the side of the face with a roll of toilet paper whenever they come back to worship here. You know, one of the cool things about being a middle school pastor is that I get to watch middle schoolers figure out how to be human beings. You know what I'm talking about? Where, like, they're trying to figure out where to throw trash away. Whenever we have programs, look at this picture. I took this picture a few months ago. This is what I like to call the corner pocket trash can, where they throw away trash literally in a corner pocket of a pool table. One time we were playing this, I was getting ready to play a game with our students. We were up in one of the rooms on the third floor, and there were a bunch of chairs out. And I said, okay, guys, let's clear all the chairs. I want you to stack them over here in this side corner, and then we're gonna play the game. So I go and set up my stuff, and I turn back and I look, and I take a picture of this. Look at this, these chairs. It looks like they're trying to stack puzzle pieces like toddlers. I mean, this is what our middle schoolers are trying. They're trying to figure out what it means to be a human being. One time after yeah, I'm serious. They're trying to figure out what it means to be a human being. After our program one time, a middle schooler came up to me and said, hey, how can I help clean up? And I said, great, go fold that ping pong table up. Easy, right? Easy. Well, look at this. Just look at this picture right here. It looks like they did a WWE move on this table. I'm serious. This is what it is like to be a middle school pastor. Yes. And besides the fact that middle school ministry makes my blood pressure really high, and that everybody says there's a special place for you in heaven, because there should be, and if not, then God's playing a funny joke on me. But besides all that, one of my favorite things about being in middle school ministry is the curiosity that middle schoolers have. I mean, just the true curiosity that they have about God, about faith, about the Bible, about their doubts, and everything that goes on of being a middle schooler. I mean, this is the true curiosity. They ask dangerous questions. They raise high questions about what they are supposed to be doing as disciples. I mean, that's one of my favorite things that I like to see in middle schoolers. They're just their curiosity. Every single Sunday, right next door in the youth basement, we have a service for middle schoolers called Thrive. And what we do for Thrive is we worship, we give a message, and then we break them out into family groups, and they get to unpack that message just a little bit. But before we start every single service, we say one phrase. Before we start every single service, whether they've been there 100 times, whether it's their first time, we say one phrase, and we say it every single week because we want our students to know it. And it's this, that Thrive is a safe place to take risks in your faith. Thrive is a safe place to take risks in your faith. Now, this is what I want to talk with you about today. I want to talk about taking risks this next year. And we're going to do that by unpacking a story out of Exodus. So before I get started today, let's pray, and then we'll get going. So let's pray. Yeah, I am I'm glad and I'm honored to be here today and just blessing God. We just ask that our hearts can be open and that what you have for us this morning, God, is just truly from you and divine. And as we walk out here, we just feel a little bit encouraged to make 2018 just a year where we are challenged. So God, we are, we're blessed. We pray this in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. Amen. So I don't know about you, but on a day like this, it's easy to like reflect and look back on the goals and resolutions that you set for this last year, and maybe some goals and resolutions that you're setting for this next year. For me, I set a myriad of goals, but I set a few physical goals, and I don't know about you, but some of my physical goals every single year, I have this one physical goal that I never meet. Is anybody else in that same boat where they like want to go to the gym all the time, but like life gets in the way and you make some excuses not to go, and you don't want to go to the gym and, you know, get rid of your membership because you don't want to say to their face, I don't want a gym here anymore, whatever that looks like, right? But every single year, I make this one goal, and it's to dunk a basketball. I look tall, but listen, I have no hops. I have absolutely no hops. And I don't know about you, but I don't know what those physical goals for you are not, but I also like to make some financial goals. I also like to make some goals in my job and in my career. I also like to make some goals in my marriage and my family. And I think there's this thing that as we go in through the year, we live a little bit of life and we go in through these months and stuff just gets caught up and we get caught up in all these things. Now, I don't know about you, but whenever I look back at some of my job goals and my career goals, I kind of think, why didn't I do what I set out to do? And I think it's because I get in the way of myself, right? Or I didn't think I was qualified to do something in my job. Or maybe I didn't think I was good enough to do something in my job. You ever feel this way? I mean, I don't think that we're the only group of people that have felt this way before. Because people for thousands and thousands of years have been figuring out how to do this too. There's a story in Exodus. You may know the story of Moses. But Moses was born a Hebrew boy. And he was born under a time where the Egyptian Pharaoh made a decree that they would kill all the baby boys. This horrible, horrible, terrible thing. And the reason why he did this is because he saw that the Hebrew people were outnumbering the Egyptians. He was afraid that if they outnumbered the Egyptians, that they would overthrow the Egyptians. So what did he do? He said, kill all the baby boys. And actually, we're going to enslave them. We're going to make them do things. I mean, just this horrible thing. But yet, Moses' mother did not want Moses to die, so she placed him in a basket and put him in a river, and he ended up in the Pharaoh's daughter's arms. And he was raised as an Egyptian royalty. And we go on to read the story a little bit more, and we find out that Moses actually found out sometime in his adulthood that he was a Hebrew himself. And he was walking the streets, and he saw an Egyptian beating a Hebrew, and he saw that this is not right. So Moses went out and killed this Egyptian, and then he ran far away. And this is where our story picks up today, where we meet Moses talking to God at a burning bush. Now, if this is your first time here and you never heard about God speaking through to a burning bush, it is a ridiculous, crazy story, yes. But here's the thing about this. That's not our argument today. Because what our argument today is that Moses shows a little bit of humanity that connects us. Moses shows a little bit of humanity that we can all connect with. Because at that burning bush, Moses was told by God to lead the Hebrew people out of Egypt so that they'd be free. That's all that God wanted him to do. And Moses, in his insecurities and his tension that he lives in because he ran far away from the consequences that he didn't want to be in before, Moses made some excuse. And then God said, no, you are going to lead the people out of Egypt into freedom. And Moses makes this weird response and excuse again. We're in Exodus 4, verse 1. Exodus 4, verse 1 says this. Then Moses answered, but suppose they do not believe me or listen to me, but say the Lord did not appear to you. I mean, don't we do this sometimes? We come to church, if you know, we're totally sold out for Christianity and we listen to stuff on Sunday mornings, or maybe we're in our small groups and we want to share a story that we've heard, but we go and we try to tell people about it and you're like, I don't know if I can tell anybody about it because I don't know if they're going to believe me. I don't know if they're going to believe me that a burning bush actually happened, or maybe even believe me that something else in the Bible happened. I mean, I think that we feel the same way too, right? But God would not relent on Moses. After that excuse, after the insecurities started popping up with Moses, God would not relent. So he said, okay, here's the deal. If you can't go and say something to a group of people and say, hey, I'm gonna make you free, then I'm gonna give you three things that they can see with their eyes. And these signs, hey, these signs, they're gonna be good. So God gave him these three signs. The first one, you may know this, right? Moses had a staff in his hand. He threw it on the ground, and it turned to a snake. He picked it back up, and it returned to its form of a shepherd's staff. He said, if they don't believe that, then stick your hand in your cloak. So Moses stuck his hand in his cloak, and he pulled it back out, and it was leprous, this disease that was not uncommon to Moses' time, where your skin would just fall off. I mean, just gross. And he put his hand back in his cloak, and he pulled it back out, and it was restored back to what his flesh was like all around his body. And God said, if those two things don't work, then this last thing would surely work, that you would take a cup out of the river, some water out of the Nile River, and you pour it onto the ground, and it would turn to blood. See, Moses, here are these three things. If you can't go and say these things to the Hebrew people, then I'm going to give you these three things that you can show the people. So you know what Moses did? Probably something that we've all done before. That even after somebody tells us to do something, maybe even encourages us a little bit, and then gives us a little bit more work and a little bit more encouragement, Moses still gave an excuse. He gave this insecurity pop-up. He goes to this. Exodus 4:10 says this, but Moses said to the Lord, in response to those three signs, but Moses said to the Lord, oh my Lord, I have never been eloquent, neither in the past nor even now that you have spoken to your servant, but I am slow of speech and slow of tongue. Moses shows us that he's insecure about who he is. Moses shows us that he's insecure about the way that he was made. You see, he shows us that he has a speech impediment, that he can't speak well. And so that if he were to go to the Hebrew people, that the people wouldn't listen to him because maybe there's something that's preventing him, this barrier, this wall that would actually allow them to listen. And so you know what God does? God gets sassy. God gets sassy here. Verse 11, Exodus 4, says this, then the Lord said to him, who gives speech to the mortals? Who makes them mute or deaf, seen or blind? Is it not I, the Lord? And go on, verse 12, now go, and I will be with your mouth and teach you what you are to speak. He says, hey, Moses, listen, I made you the way that you are. I didn't make you like your brother. I didn't make you like your neighbor. I made you just the way that you are. And all these things that are getting in the way, listen, I made you just the way that you are. Friends, listen, God made you just the way that you are. Didn't make you like your neighbor. Didn't make you like your coworker down the hall. Didn't make you like any one of your friends. But God made you just the way that you are. See, whenever God calls us to do certain things in our life, we may compare ourselves to the insecurities that we have, maybe to the joys or the talents and the gifts that other people have. But listen, friends, God made you just the way that you are. Because what if God is calling you to roll down your window whenever you're at that corner and that person's standing there with that sign? I mean, what if God is calling you to walk down the hall and talk to that person in your office that's an absolute mess, that is totally unorganized, showing up late, and nobody's giving them grace? But God is nudging you. God is challenging you. The Holy Spirit is like pushing something in you to walk down there, knock on the door, and sit across from them and say, hey, I just want to give you some grace and love. What's going on? Or maybe God is calling you to take out some activities in your family's life because all that you want to do is sit down around a table and have a conversation with your family because life is too busy. Or maybe God is calling you to invite someone to church. I mean, don't we all have one person in our life that we can invite to church? I think that we could all name one person right now. Or maybe even that God is calling you to join a small group. You see, friends, God made you the way that you are made. When it comes to being a middle school pastor, all I want to do is just model what it means to be Jesus. And all I want to do is just model that love, grace, and mercy that Jesus offered us so long ago. Because sometimes I think I'm just a middle school pastor. But here's the deal. I am a middle school pastor. And if I show my students that I'm a middle school pastor, then they're going to get that love and that grace and that mercy. Because whenever Jesus started his ministry, he was walking along the sea. And he saw two teenage boys out on a boat. And he called them onto the shore. And he said, hey, listen, I'm not going to give you a list of do's and don'ts. I'm not going to give you a list of rules and regulations. I'm just going to give you a simple invitation. Follow me. follow me and I'm gonna make you fishers of men. So they dropped everything. They took a risk. They dropped everything on that shore and they followed Jesus. And Jesus started to walk and get some more disciples, and he performed these miracles. He allowed the blind to see. He allowed the deaf to hear. He allowed people that couldn't walk to raise and actually walk. He allowed people to literally raise from the dead. And he fed 5,000 people. I mean, what a miracle, these things that these disciples kept seeing. And they were just learning and learning and learning. And I want to do the same thing for my middle school students. And if I want to do that, I'm gonna challenge you, man, if we don't take a risk, if we don't take a risk like these disciples did, then how are we gonna show the people next to us about that love and about that grace and about that mercy? How are we gonna show that love and that grace and that mercy to others? And if Jesus took those risks, I wanna model the same thing. I wanna model the same thing for my middle school students. You know, I think one of the reasons why we put up barriers and walls that really prevent us from achieving some of our goals that we set out for New Year's resolutions, I think it's because we get in the way. That we start to compare ourselves, and we start to leave out what God has truly given us. You see, the sad thing about Moses' story is that even after God said to him, hey, I made you for who you are. I didn't make you like anybody else, but I made you who for you are. Now go, and I'm gonna be with you. And that's the good news, I'm gonna be with you. Even after God did that, Moses still said, hey, listen, I'm gonna make an excuse. I don't wanna do this. But God still, in his relentless effort, said, okay, I'm gonna give you your brother Aaron, and I'm gonna say everything to you, Moses, but then you're gonna say everything to Aaron so that we can lead these people out of Egypt, because I have heard their cry. There are so many people that are hurt, so many people that are in pain, so many people that just need to be free, not just in this story, but in this world. And Moses, you need to take this risk. You need to listen to everything that I'm saying. Say it to your brother Aaron so that he can say it to the Hebrew people so that they can be led out of Egypt. Moses did it. We don't know if it was I don't know if I want to do this, but I will do it. But Moses still did it. Even after all those excuses, even after all those insecurities, Moses still did it. There's gonna be a point whenever God is calling us to do something, and we have to take a risk. We have to take a risk. Because if we don't, then we're not gonna be challenged by others around us to take those risks either. If we don't take those risks, then we're not gonna be challenging others to take those risks around us. So I just wanna share this one thing with you. If you don't listen to anything else that I say today, I wanna challenge you with this one thing. I want you to make 2018 a year to take risks in your faith. I want you to make 2018 a year to take risks in your faith. Maybe that's serving in the church. Maybe that's inviting somebody to church. Maybe that's joining a small group. I don't know what that is for you. But what I do know is that we have a blank slate. We have something that's completely new this next year. There's nothing on 2018 that will prevent us from doing what we're doing. And you know, we look at this year as a blank slate, but God looks at our days as a blank slate, because in the Old Testament it says that God has new mercy for us every single day. And isn't that the joy that we get to rest in and the love that we get to rest in? So if we are willing to take those risks, imagine what this community would look like. Imagine what Dallas would look like. Imagine what the world would look like. So make 2018 a year to take risks in your faith. I just want to end with this. You know, I said that we were in this room about for our lock-in. Some of my middle schoolers made a bet with me that if they got 250 students here, that I would have to do something. And I said, there's no way that you can get 250 students here. And so I lost the bet because they got 250 students here. And I'm gonna show you, this is why I lost. I had to straighten my hair. Yeah. Some of my middle school girls came up to me for this right here, and they said, you have some great layers. And I honestly don't know what that means. I honestly don't know, but I guess I have great layers whenever my hair is straight. Listen, I know this is dumb. I didn't want to straighten my hair. I really didn't. But I needed to make a bet with these students because they were so excited about this lock-in. Now, that's just small, right? But all that I can do as a middle school pastor is show them grace, love, and mercy. Maybe taking a risk to straighten my hair makes them come back. Maybe rolling down your window, walking down the hall, setting time for your family. Maybe that taking those risks will allow you to really change what's going on in this world. So friends, God does not keep track of where you've been. God does not keep track of what you've done. God wants us to be surrounded by people that will lift us up. And God doesn't want us to be alone. And God is trying to push you to do something. And the Holy Spirit is trying to pull you to do something. And maybe that's in the form of a burning bush, or maybe that's in the form of people surrounding you. But listen, if we don't model what it means to take a risk for those around us, then those around us won't take a risk. So make 2018 a year to take risks in your faith. Let's pray. God, we praise you, and we thank you for the story of Moses. That Moses shows us a bit of humanity that we can connect with, but God, most of all, that the insecurities and the barriers and the walls that we put in front of us, that God, sometimes that's too much for us to get over. And so God, in this moment, we just ask that you give us the courage and the boldness, yet to be light into what seems to be a dark world so that we can come out of here, to make 2018 a year to take risks in our faith. So God, we praise you, and we praise this in the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.